Weeks like we just had in Wisconsin political news bring to mind verses from one of America's great poets.
Robert Frost?
Maya Angelou?
No, I'm talking, of course, about the great American poet Meghan Trainor.
Is she that one that sang that song about curvaceous ladies?
That would be her song All About That Bass. I'm talking about her understated classic, No.
My name is No, my sign is No, my number is No. You need to let it go, you need to let it go, need to let it go.
Okay, enough poetry. What does that have to do with Wisconsin politics?
Well, the big news this week was Sean Duffy saying no to a run for U.S. Senate, Scott Walker again saying no to being labor secretary, and Ron Kind saying, no, he hasn't ruled out a run for governor in 2018.
Okay, we can work with that.
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm Sean Johnson.
I'm Laurel White.
And I'm John K. Wilson. Let's talk about politicians saying no. So why does it matter that people said no this week?
Well, I think we can take them one by one, right? Let's take the probably the biggest one this week, Sean Duffy, the congressman from Wisconsin's 7th District. A lot of Republicans were expecting he was going to be the candidate to take on Tammy Baldwin in 2018. He's got name recognition. He's used to being on TV. That's helpful. So he's got, I think for a variety of reasons, Republicans had decided it's kind of his to take or his to reject, and he rejected it. He said he's not going to run for U.S. Senate in 2018, and so now all of a sudden with Duffy out of the way.
Like pretty much unprompted, too. He just released a statement yesterday, Thursday morning, saying, you know, my wife and I talked about this. We have 8 lovely children, and I'm going to stay in the House, but we're going to totally support whoever is the nominee so we can crush Tammy Baldwin because we don't care for her politics.
Was that verbatim what he said? I'm not sure.
There was a roller coaster of a state. We are going to crush her because I don't care for what she says.
Well, I mean, there was nothing mean in the press release. He's just like, Tammy Baldwin is, you know, Madison liberal policies, which is out of step with Wisconsin, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to support whoever is going to take her on, but it ain't going to be me.
Yeah. Well, and last week, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who's one of the people that we'll get into talking a little bit more about, you know, possibly running for this Senate seat that Duffy said he's not going to run for, actually said, you know, Duffy's driving the train in this race, kind of implying like he was the front runner and everything. And I love that trains are back in our life because, of course, there was the Trump train. And Senator Fitzgerald was the Trump train guy that actually, anytime I can bring the Trump train noise back, I'm going to do it. I'm sorry. For years to come. Because I think it's just so funny. But yeah, so Duffy was driving the train and I guess he decided to abandon train.
Could he just like jump off and do like a roll on the ground?
You know those like Wild West movies where the conductor just sort of like, this is implying something really bad about the Republican running for Senate. But, you know, when the conductor just sort of jumps out when it's headed for a cliff.
So now you got
not what I'm implying.
All these other potential candidates are back in the dining car and they're like,
somebody's got to
I'm going to drive the train. No, I could drive the train. No, in fact, I should drive the train. I'm thinking about driving the train.
I've got a budget to work on before I can drive the train.
Many people have asked me to drive the train. That's sort of the stage they're at right now. Nobody's driving the train, but a lot of people think maybe they could.
They can sort of like if they're sitting there in a quiet, private moment, they dare to picture themselves and think, that could be me. I could do it. I could be a U.S. senator. I'm right now a legislative leader and or a Wisconsin business person and or a controversial sheriff. It could be me.
And you look at recent history, seriously, why not? You know, Ron Johnson got into the U.S. Senate race in 2010 and nobody knew who he was. He got in late, too, for a Senate race. And
wasn't there some anecdote where some Republican was calling for some rich guy to get in the race?
In that case, that actually happened, yeah. I mean, Ron Johnson said he was watching TV and heard somebody say that we need a wealthy Republican to get into that race, and Ron Johnson said, I could be that guy. And he was, and it caught on, so
and now
seriously.
He's won twice.
But I don't think there's anything, I mean, Donald Trump's improbable candidacy and victory go to show that, you know, if why not, I guess, for any of these candidates. And with Duffy out of the way, he was kind of he had the most name recognition among any of the Republicans who are considering getting in. With him out of the way, if you're a legislator or just anybody who's got that dream of being a U.S. senator, it seems like a good shot.
I mean, I guess you mentioned Scott Fitzgerald. What would he bring to that race? For folks who aren't familiar, and I guess if you're listening to the podcast, you probably know who Scott Fitzgerald is. But if you don't, he's the Senate Majority Leader in the Wisconsin State Legislature. So he's a big dog in state politics at the moment. Do you think he can make that leap into national politics?
The thing with legislative leaders is that they are not necessarily big dogs outside of the state capitol. I mean, Scott Fitzgerald's brother, Jeff Fitzgerald, found that out in 2012. He ran for U.S. Senate, and in that race, he was not a huge factor. I mean, it wasn't close for him. He didn't have it, just being the assembly speaker at the time, which Jeff Fitzgerald was, didn't win him a bunch of votes. You can go back to other examples of that. Recently would be John Gard was the assembly speaker for a while. He ran for Congress twice. Didn't matter that he was assembly speaker. He lost twice. So there's historically that position is a big deal in Madison, but not necessarily a big deal elsewhere.
All right, who else?
Who else, Laurel?
Who else? So we have another state senator, Leah Vukmir, who is from Brookfield. And Vukmir, what's her deal?
Pretty conservative.
Yeah.
I would say Leah Vukmir finds some causes that Republicans, she has sort of a history in my mind of finding conservative causes that Republicans aren't necessarily willing to embrace and sort of digging in. You know, I think about like the minimum markup that prohibits retailers from selling goods below cost. And it's, you know, that you have a variety of constituencies that like the law and fear its repeal. You know, gas station owners, smaller gas station owners, grocery stores, they all say like, do not repeal this law. Leah Vukmir says, hey, I'm a free market conservative. Let's get rid of this law. And so she kind of likes to shake things up a little bit.
And she's distinguished herself in the Senate, too, on the medical marijuana issue, because she was really kind of the high profile person that was opposed to the CBD oil bill, or one of a couple people during the last legislative session. And the conversations that have come back up this session about advancing that bill and other medical marijuana or marijuana legalization as a whole, she's mentioned by name frequently in that. That's a thing.
So it seems like she has
one person that stands out.
A track record in the legislature of attaching herself to specific issues and maybe issues that conservatives in the state would care about. But again, I guess she probably doesn't have the type of name recognition. Might face the same sort of problem that Scott Fitzgerald might.
Yeah, I would say that that's fair.
I think it would be tricky for both of them to run. Actually, I'm not sure there's room for Fitzgerald and Vukmir in the primary. It seems like they wouldn't do that, but
yeah.
Hey, maybe I haven't thought about it enough.
Well, and that is something that Fitzgerald said last week as well. You know, he said we don't want to have a crowded primary in this race. We don't want it to be overstuffed or something. He didn't use that word. Those are my words. That's a weird word, too. I don't know.
I like it.
He said,
this primary is
overstuffed.
So what about somebody in this race who maybe fits more of the Ron Johnson mold as opposed to somebody who's actively a lawmaker or, you know, some sort of government official now? Are there any other wealthy business dudes out there who might make a run for this?
I don't know about wealthy, but there's a name that I don't know the person yet, But he was saying yesterday in the story that you guys worked on,
mm-hmm.
that who was that?
So that is Kevin Nicholson, and he's a businessman from Milwaukee. He's also a Marine veteran and has served on some advisory commissions, I think, for Veterans Affairs in the state. I would have to double check that, but he's been involved in state government in terms of like veteran services and stuff. I don't believe he's someone that's run before. He hasn't confirmed that he's 100% running. He says he's seriously considering it with his family at this point.
And then we've got Eric Hovde.
Yep.
Is another name from 2012. Hovde ran, came in second to Tommy Thompson in that primary. And Hovde is wealthy. And
spent a lot of money on his own campaign last time.
I don't remember how much he did, but I think he's capable, definitely. And so if he were to get in, I think that could potentially scare some other candidates off, because they know that they know there's going to be that level of potential money in the race. And, you know, Hovde in 2012, he was saying stuff that was, you weren't hearing other Republicans say. Like he was ripping on the way that Medicare Part D prohibited the federal government from negotiating prescription drug prices with drug companies.
Well, that's a way to get people fired up at a rally.
No, but okay. That was against Republican
orthodoxy
back in 2012. And then you saw Donald Trump say the same thing in 2016. It's all in how you frame it, right? If it's a mm-hmm. giveaway to the drug companies, that's a little catchier way of framing it on the campaign than saying, well, Medicare Part D is fundamental flaw.
I covered a few Bernie Sanders rallies during the presidential campaign, and he was getting people hyped up about prescription drug prices, let me tell you. So,
with the caveat that we can't really predict anything now after 2016, because nobody got that right, except for maybe Donald Trump himself, do you think that, like, in this race, is there still a strong appetite for an outsider candidate like that, maybe more than a somebody who's worked in state government for a long time?
It seems like that's where we're going as a body politic.
Man, I wish that I could like somehow convey the amount I'm shaking my head right now. I just have no idea.
That's the appropriate answer right now, I think. And sort of the beauty of talking about elections 2 years away is that, hey, anything's possible. Any of these candidates could be in there. Before we get too far about speculation, Dale Coinga, who you talked to, Laurel, admired. He's a state legislator who's admired by, I think, fiscal conservatives. Got kind of a libertarian streak to him. There's another person who's mauling the race. Any of these people are potential candidates.
He's also
candidates
a former Marine, too, isn't he?
I don't know if he was Marine or Army, actually. I believe, boy, you don't want to get that wrong.
Sorry that I don't know that. I know it's important.
I believe it was Army.
Okay.
But we'll double check this later and edit it out if you're wrong.
After double checking, we can confirm he is, in fact, an Army reservist who served in Iraq in 2008.
No, but the thing is, we do not know what 2018 is going to look like as a cycle. I tend to think it's going to be a lot about Donald Trump. And, you know, ask Barack Obama circa 2010 what it's like to go from being the change candidate to having your party control the White House and Congress. It's not historically so good for that party. So Republicans mm-hmm. control everything right now. They've got an election coming up in 2018. History tells us that could be painful for them.
At the same time, history also tells us
that midterm turnout has recently favored Republicans, you know, especially in Wisconsin. There are so many Democrats who stay home in midterms that factor would weigh, you know, more
what
in
about,
Republican favor.
What about, speaking of outsider candidates, what about a nominally Democratic sheriff in Milwaukee County who could possibly run for Senate as a Republican?
David Clark would, I think, let's do the understatement of the year, would shake up that race, right?
because he's a very exciting personality. You never know what he's going to do. You never know what he's going to say. He really gets people fired up.
Much
on
in the
both
way
sides.
That Donald Trump did in this last cycle, and David Clark was a big supporter of Donald Trump. He has won 4 races in Milwaukee County running as a Democrat, but he's a very, very, very conservative guy, also a very controversial guy. And there are some folks, I guess, who support him who are trying to, like, draft him. I don't think he said anything particular about, oh, I'm thinking of running. But there are some people out there saying, you know, we already shook stuff up with Donald Trump. Why can't we do it, too, with David Clark?
Yeah, there's this PAC that is, I'm not sure if it's funded by or just supported by Dog the Bounty Hunter and his wife.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So can you imagine Clark campaigning around the state and Dog there by his side?
Yeah, I can.
I can imagine it, actually. Yeah, why not?
I can envision that, and that's great.
But you talk about a primary and, like, what Fitzgerald was saying, we don't need this overstuffed. I mean, if you have a primary with David Clark, it's going to force the other candidates in the race to go right, potentially, more than they want to for the general.
And I mean, he might, like, at this point have more name recognition than anybody because he's the acting sheriff of Milwaukee County, but also is, like, a regular guest on Fox News and other cable shows.
Yeah.
Gets paid a whole bunch of money to go around and do a lot of speaking gigs for conservative organizations and that sort of thing. His celebrity has really skyrocketed in the last, you know, couple of years.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to the convention, the Republican National Convention, when he spoke that night, watched several speakers, and he got the biggest applause line when he just said, Blue Lives Matter, and the crowd went nuts. So he's tapped into something.
All right, you guys want to shift gears a little bit to
a different
person saying no?
Meghan Trainor?
Well, yes, her.
Yeah.
Maybe she could run for Senate.
Her name is No. Her sign is no. Senator no.
So Ron Kind, Wisconsin congressman, said, no, I'm not going to rule out challenging Scott Walker in 2018, which is more of a maybe, but to fit it with the intro.
To fit it with
intro.
The theme, yeah. We could find a maybe song, too. But like, yeah, we can wedge Ron Kind into the no theme.
I think it's fair. So this, I think, is interesting to mention, maybe. I don't know. Sorry. So I think this is kind of an interesting thing because we have this list of potential Democratic candidates for governor that we've been talking about for really an inappropriate amount of time. I mean, this race isn't for another year and a half. But we've been speculating about, you know, who are Democrats going to put up to run against Scott Walker if he decides to run for a long time. And so Ron Kind, his name has been out there for as long as we've been speculating, I would think. And so I sort of thought he had already tipped his hat and said, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about it. But apparently he hadn't. So this is the first time that he has actually said, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
No,
it's not
yeah,
a
maybe.
No. It's not a no.
I'm not, I won't say
I
no.
I won't say not I'm not going to rule it out.
My name's not no.
I mean, so in this case, it's almost like the opposite of what was happening in the Sean Duffy scenario, where Duffy bows out and creates this power vacuum. Maybe Ron Kind is still sitting in the vacuum and is taking up space that other people are, like, hoping to rush into.
Wow, that's a little too sciencey for me. I'm not sure I totally get the vacuum versus non-vacuum. But I don't think that they're in the way that Ron Kind was the front runner for the potential Republican, you know, list
you mean,
of candidates.
Sean Duffy.
Oh, Sean Duffy. Sorry. In the way that Sean Duffy was kind of the front runner for Republicans, we don't really have somebody that's
great
sitting in that space for Democrats for this race. So,
and so that's why I think Kind is significant.
Mm-hmm.
You have to temper it a bit because in 2010, there was talk about, I think Jim Doyle, who is not running for a third term in 2010, kind of wanted Ron Kind to run in that race, and Ron Kind decided not to. And then there were people that wanted Ron Kind to give it a shot in 2014, and Ron Kind decided not to. So he has a history of saying maybe, but ultimately his name is no. And so I'm not saying that I don't think you should read too much into it this time. However, there are a bunch of candidates from Western Wisconsin who are thinking they might like to run for governor. You know, there's no clear front runner. So you have somebody like Dana Walks, a Democratic assemblyman from Eau Claire, who's practically running for governor right now. You know, he's out there being very vocal on a lot of issues, shown up at forums. You've got Kathleen Vinehout, a state senator from Alma, also Western Wisconsin, out there kind of flirting with the idea of running for governor for a while. If Ron Kind gets in, it becomes harder for them to be the Western Wisconsin candidate, because he is a well-known congressman from the 3rd District, has a long history there. And he would definitely shake up the race if he were a candidate. I wouldn't say he's the given candidate, though, because he would probably face a primary from a Madison or a Milwaukee Democrat.
Somebody like Joe Parisi, the Dane County executive, or...
Who knows? Yeah, the list is long of potential candidates at this point. But there are a lot of Democrats who don't like Ron Kind's stance on trade, for example. He supported the TPP, which was just jettisoned by the president. That would make him vulnerable in a primary.
All right, before we wrap up, one other no, yeah. Which was just like a repeat of a no that kept being said no. Scott Walker has been stinging Meghan Trainor for quite some time now when people were saying, hey, maybe you could be labor secretary under Donald Trump, when it was looking like his initial choice was on thin ice. And he eventually then withdrew the nomination. But then Scott Walker did not get picked. So
he didn't get picked the first time. He didn't get picked the second time. Well, we know that the Trump administration has reached out to him. We know that they have been in conversations, because that has been reported.
There's that picture of Scott Walker sitting in the chair.
Right.
In the Oval Office. With Donald Trump right behind him.
But Scott Walker has said, I have no interest. I have no interest.
So it's kind of like those scrubs at the club in Meghan Trainor's context.
Right.
Coming up and trying to, like, offer their phone number or something. You know, say, hey, you're not like all the other girls. You shut down public sector unions in Wisconsin. And Scott Walker, at least publicly, was like, no, you're not getting my number. if anything, I'm going to stay in Wisconsin and run for governor again.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said he's much more interested in being governor. Yeah, that's a very apt comparison.
How would you compare it any better than
right,
that?
Right, yeah. It's just a beautiful metaphor.
He's been pretty consistent on this, I think. You go back to when he dropped out of the presidential race. He was asked right away what else he wanted to do, and he said, no, he didn't want to be in cabinet, pretty firmly. And people can say, like, well, Scott Walker said he didn't want to run for president either, and then he ran for president. But I think the way that he ruled out a cabinet position has always been stronger in the way that he said it. And most recently, he left himself no wiggle room. He said, I am not going to be in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Period.
No is no is no. He was even saying no when he was supporting Ted Cruz in the presidential primary.
Yeah.
Because he had, been sort of a high-profile supporter of Cruz, and people said, would you be in his cabinet? Would you be labor secretary for him? And that was a no back then as well. I think a fun thing to mention is he frequently cites Tommy Thompson's wisdom about being the HHS secretary.
Yeah.
He loves this quote. Walker does. He says it all the time. Tommy Thompson told me that his best day as a cabinet secretary was worse than his worst day as governor. I think I said that right.
Yeah.
Best day.
Yeah, you're right.
Worse.
Yeah.
Wait. Best day worse than the worst day. Yeah.
Yeah. So his happiest moment in the cabinet was worse than his worst day as governor.
Yeah, that's dark.
Yeah, it must be horrible. In the cabinet.
Yeah, man.
Because you got to have some bad days as governor, right?
Yeah.
But even those were better than being in the head of a major federal agency.
Yeah, so I mean, the governor takes some advice.
The other way to look at it, too, though, is that there's not a real precedent or clear step from Secretary of Labor to presidential candidate either.
There's not. It's almost like it sort of gives up the dream for the governor at that point. If he has any continued aspirations to be president, you would almost be saying, labor secretary is as high as I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. And that'd be it. It seems like he still has thoughts of giving a run for president another try. Although
when he's sitting in the executive mansion late night, he's dreaming, why not me?
Why not me? Yeah. But going to be a few years at this point.
All right. Anything else?
No. My thinking is no.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
No, I'm not. You can say yes to more episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe there and rate and review the show. We're also on Google Play, and you can find us on a bunch of podcatching apps. And of course, all of our past episodes are available at wpr.org/politics.